Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being in church this morning and allowing us to be here, waking us up this morning, getting us here safely, Lord, and we're just excited about what you're going to do for us today. We thank you for all your blessings, everything that you do for us each and every day, and we want to give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good to see everyone this morning. Doing things a little bit different this month. We're having a month-long revival every Sunday and Wednesday and having a different preacher come in. And as you can tell, Brother Bill Grady's not with us this morning. I know we've been mentioning that for several weeks now, but yesterday afternoon he had to go get tested. He's supposed to be preaching a funeral for either his mother-in-law or father-in-law. I forget which one it was, next Tuesday. So the funeral director said he had to go get tested, and he went and got tested, and he tested positive, and so did his wife for COVID. And so he doesn't really have any symptoms. He said he's had a little bit of what he thought might have been a symptom, but of course with COVID, anything's a symptom, so you're not really sure. But he did test positive, so we're trying to do the right thing by not having him come. And so he's not going to be here with us today, but he's coming at the end of the month. But Brother Kenneth McFadden is here with us today, and we're thankful that he's here, and he drove all the way from Arkansas at the last minute last night to come preach. So I've heard that he's willing to preach anywhere and everywhere at the drop of a hat, and he'll throw the hat if he has to. So I appreciate him coming to be with us this morning. So we're going to get right to it and let him come preach this morning, and we'll be probably about 15 till or so. We'll stop and then take some time to fellowship for a few minutes, and we'll start our regular service at 11 o'clock. But we appreciate y'all coming. And I know we've got more people that'll be coming in every time we eat. At the church, we don't start on time, and there's some people that have a hard time coming for Sunday school because they're bringing food, and it's hard to blame them when you start smelling that food walking down the hallway. So we'll make sure we close that door so it won't affect the preaching. So, all right, Brother McFadden, you come and come preach for us this morning. Appreciate you being here. And, these waters are yours, whichever one you want. You just...
All right.
Jump off of you, I saw it. All right, we should. You got that on?
Amen. Good to see you all. Boy, I've got a big mouth besides if that thing's turned up in you. We're worried. All right. When I was in boot camp, when we get off the rifle range, they would, one of the things, they'd all get to, you know, fall in with their rifles. And they would ask if there was any ammo. Go right down the line, you know. No ammo, sir, no, or sergeant, whatever. No ammo, no ammo, no ammo. Is there any ammo in the house? Turn your Bibles. To the book of 2 Chronicles. Mom, she found this for us this morning. Good. 2 Chronicles, and I wrote it in my hand while I was driving. 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Don't let anybody agitate and aggravate you over carrying your gun, your weapon, to church. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 9 and verse 10 says, "Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about." Amen. You say, what's that mean? Keep the munition. That's what that means. That's what that means. Well, good to be here. Good to be here. I love Brother Grady. I'd like to be here when he's here. I'd like to come over. Anyway, we love that brother. He's a character. He can He's a walking, as I told the brother, I said, he's absolutely a walking encyclopedia. There ain't no doubt about it. And I really enjoy that stuff very much. If you want to turn with us in your Bible today, go to the book of Genesis. There has been a terrible, terrible warfare against the home for thousands of years. God established the home 4,000 years, give or take a little bit there, before he did the church. Now, I'm church. I believe in church. Don't get me wrong. But that home, a church ain't worth 35 cents without a good home. That's all there is to it. That's the way it is. And I've learned a lot of things the hard way through the years that I wish I'd have knew when we first got married, wife and I, 55 years ago, and started a family, and three sons, a daughter. But I mean, three daughters and one son. I get it all mixed up, but Mom, I do. It's age is what it is. Set in up here. But anyway, I've learned a lot of things. And the problem is, as some of you already know, that when you grow and you get older, you learn a lot of things. Then the family's already gone, and you wish you'd knew that back there so you could put it in, and it's too late. You know, really, it is the way it is. So we're going to try to bring you a few things that might help you. I hope it will. We've preached this a few times, and besides me, they don't tell them who all else preached it, so that's the way it is. Amen. I was reading something here a while back. I'm going to throw this out there just for the fun of it. I was reading here a while back. I like DeWitt Talmage, so I was reading DeWitt Talmage and some of his messages, and I was coming across one that I was reading down to. I said, I've heard this before. And I got to thinking, and it was Brother Ruckman is the one that had preached that message. Then to come to in some of the reading, Brother Ruckman made mention, he said about 80% of the things that I preach are things that I've gleaned from other sources, and God's given me about 20% of that. Isn't that a sight? And, well, anyway, so you got your Bibles. Go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, and here you got the home started. But right after the home gets started, I mean, you don't go but just a verse or two. Now, time-wise, I have no idea on that, but I wouldn't doubt it wasn't long. And up shows the devil. And I wish I'd have had some of this when I was a young lad. I got saved at 15 years old and just a kid. Thank God for that. Okay, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 16, the Bible said the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, notice there in those verses, in verse 15, which I didn't read, said, and the Lord God took the man, and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You got man found in verse 15, 16, and 18. And you've also got it in verse 8 and verse 7 twice, verse 5, I mean, he deal with man. Now, I don't care what Nancy Pelosi comes up with. There are such a thing as a man and a woman and a boy and a girl and a he and a she. Everybody got that? They can't figure that out. You know, what do you think about that? I'm laughing. That's all I can think about it. All right, so you're going down through there. You got the man. Notice that in verse 22, it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, this is amazing. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now you got man over and over and over and over in there. Now there's something here we want to talk about in just a minute. This is not new to something that I figured out. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for gleaning from some of my brethren. And so you just go from there. All right. Adam was created first. Now, it's not a joke. I ain't making this up as a joke because you've heard all of them. Why did God make the man first? Did you ever think? You ever think of it? I guarantee you, I never had until about just a few years ago. I'll be honest with you. Why would he make the man first? Well, you can think, well, he got the responsibility, all like that. Yes, but you got the answers are right here in these in first few verses and first couple of chapters in your Bible, and I got them wrote down here. I hope it'll be some kind of a lesson. I hope it'll help you. I'm not much of a teacher, and sure flat not much of a preacher, so you just have to suffer. That's all I know to tell you. All right, too. Now notice there what he said in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded. The man is the one that was commanded. God did not give instruction there to Eve because she was not yet. The man. That puts a load on us men folks. Us daddies and grandpas and great-grandpas where we're at. All right, so, but... I think that as we think about this just a minute, first of all, I got wrote down here that a man needs to learn to listen. Adam needs to learn to listen. Amen. And that's very clear. He wasn't given a great deal of instruction. I mean, he just put him out there in the garden and have at it. And so on. So he had to need to learn to listen. God said the first no found in your Bible. Thou shalt not eat of that tree. No. The first yes in the Bible, as all of you know, was said by the devil in chapter 3. So you got the no and you got the yes. Bible is filled with positive and negative thoughts all the way through it, from one end of it to the other. And so Adam was given some instructions. I got a little verse here, the sins of the wicked, like I said, anyway, a thought. The sins of the wicked anger God, but the sins of professing Christians grieve him. I know, you say, where'd you get that? Oh, some of you throw me out. Some of them old Puritans that I read. You say, well, you're Calvinist. I ain't no Calvinist by no long shot. But anyway, I do read them old timers, Thomas Watson, Thomas Brooks, and so on and so on and so forth. And you want some good reading? That's a good reading. Have you been? I mean, if you got about a year as far as reading your King James Bible, you can see that they're dead wrong when it comes to the elect, predestination, and all that stuff. They're wrong. But anyway, and so that was a thought that I'd gleaned from somewhere. The sins of the wicked anger God. But now this is kind of gets home to us. The sins of professing Christians grieve him. And you'll find that true running through your Bible. You really will. And there's times, though, when God gets even angry at us that are saved by the grace of God. Lord help us. All right, now the next thing is, you look at verse 28 in chapter 1, in verse 28. Let's read that right quick, 1 and 28. And God blessed them. Now this is a... This is a kind of an overview, and then you get into chapter 2, you get right down to details of how God made the man. He made him out of the dust of the ground. Well, it really puts us on some high exalting ourselves, don't it? You say, what are you? Old Brother Harrison, you tell us that we were animated mud balls. That's pretty good. When you get to thinking about it, your great, 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 great grandpa was dirt. Now, isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? That really inflates your ego, don't it? Well, my daddy, my great, great grandpa, he was dirt. It's right here in your King James Bible. God tries to get these things over to us. But anyway, here we go. All right, now then, in chapter 1, verse 28, he says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. That doesn't have anything to do with election machine. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. And I hope you folks ain't watching the news and listening to it. You'd be crazy just like I am. All right, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And he told them, be fruitful there and multiply. Then he said, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And the, and God put everything there that you and I need. Then in 2 and 15 he said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So God goes on in detail there, and God puts man in there to take care of all these things. So God gave man a job. Now this is deep stuff. You'll have to get out all your lexicons of Greek and Hebrew to figure this message out. But anyway, God gave the first man a job. Now, brother and I were talking about this this morning, last night. The day that we're living in. It's amazing at the bummy bums that are out there. We wasn't raised at all like that. And I remember, I was telling the brother, I said, I remember the first fella that I saw walk off the job because he didn't like something the boss told him. And we worked for the state highway department. Every time some president coughed, we got the day off with pay. We got all kinds of good stuff. We worked on the state. And I saw that boy walk out the gate. I said, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. And that's the truth, Mom. We had never saw that. Because we were born and raised, and Dad taught us, boys, you got a job, you do it. Amen. And there ain't no can't. My dad used to tell us, boys, can't never could do nothing. He said, that ain't good English. Yes, but we got the message. Can't never could do nothing. Now, you boys and you girls are trying to learn something in school. I'm afraid I'm not a very good English teacher. All right, so given a job. And that's it. And they had a, when you got a job, you got a purpose in life. And you say, well, who are you talking to here? Well, God made the man first. I'm thinking if us men folks get in the right place, we're going to be just fine anyway. Right. Amen. It'll make it all right. So he given a purpose in life. It had some character about it. Did you ever read over in Acts? Let's go over just a second. Look, this is a good one, I think. Every time I read it, this kind of floors me. Oh, Paul, they're fixing to kill him. Remember this? They're fixing to kill him. And he's got all the religious crowd after him, and that's what's going to happen to you and I. That's the truth. I got some stuff that I'm going to copy. I'll send your pastor a copy of it if he hadn't already read it. It's what John Bunyan said when he was brought before the magistrates and was sentenced at that one point to like 6 more years. And what he had to say to that magistrate is absolute amazing. They were trying to get him to take a license. That's coming. I promise you it's coming. I'm not a prophet. And that was what was going on then. And so he said, I cannot take a license from the state because you're not the one who called me. And so forth. And he said that if I take a license, then that you are the ones that are giving me the right to preach. And so on. He said, so therefore, I cannot take your license. And so the judge gave him 6 more years in prison. As he walked out, this is recorded. I think it was Windsor or Winslow, whatever the judge's name was. It's in this article. And he said, one good thing about it. Said, I believe that we have heard the last of Mr. Bunyan. Really? How many of you read Pilgrim's Progress? How many ought to read Pilgrim's Progress? You ought to read Pilgrim's Progress. And by the way, I had no idea that he wrote so much. There are 3 monstrous volumes. I'm talking about double deals like this, like in your Bible, that he wrote thick books. this big and so on this tall. And a fella got them from me. I said, well, I didn't even know he wrote anything, but Pilgrim's Progress. I was dead wrong. All right, now how did I get off on all that? Oh, yes, here we are with Paul's nephew. It always amazes me when I read this portion of Scripture in the 23rd chapter. The religious, that's what got me. The religious crowd were fixing to murder Paul. All right? Now, in verse 12, let's just read it. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that we should neither eat nor drink till we have killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. There he goes. You say, you're a conspiracy theorist? No, I believe in it. If you can't open your eyes and see what's already taking place, I've already read Dominion twice. It's twice in the Bible. You don't go three verses. I mean, three chapters. You got Dominion twice. You ever wonder? I ain't going to get into that. Do you ever wonder how come that they name those stuff like that, Bible words? There's so much of it going on, I ain't getting into it. All right. And they were more than 40 men which made this conspiracy, and they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. I guarantee they everyone had filled their belly for too long. Now, therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we are ever he come nearer are ready to kill him. Now watch this little lad. It just pops in and that's it, and they don't say no more. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though he would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him. Of them, more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. You know what happened? He believed that young man. He gets an army together to ride him out of town before he into safety. My, what a young man. There's some young men in here. There's one over there. There's a young man. And there's a young man back there. I'd love to talk to young. But anyway, and these young men and you young girls, that's the kind of character that you ought to have. Do you realize that here's a jailbird, all been in and out. Here's a jailbird sent his nephew and said they're going to kill me. Oh, yeah. But that young man, my dear friend, that young man had some influence. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible makes it very clear that even a child is known for his doing. Amen. And there's something there. So build some men. Praise the Lord. Build some men. Amen. See that young lady back there? You got, now I don't know the colors. I know pink. You said, oh no, here it goes. Yes, here it goes. Isn't that nice? That nice pink bowl. Now you boys, leave the pink alone. That's good preaching fam doing. I just so happened some of the readings that I read. I read a lot of military stuff, and I was reading the, I don't remember which book it's in, so I'm sorry to tell you. I don't know whether it's in Night, that's one of the books, Night. For Those I Love by Gray, that's another one. These are all people that have survived the death camp in Germany, the concentration camp. One of the things that they did, I just thought I'd throw this out just for the fun of it, and it ain't fun, but it is true. The Jews had to wear that patch on their arm, right? With that star on, right? The so-called clergy, and there was some real ones in there, they had to wear a certain thing. But the Sodomites, now, I know you ain't going to believe it. They had them wear a pink band on their arm to distinguish that they were Sodomites. Now, isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Now, guess what's going on now? Well, anyway, we'll leave that alone. Be a man, that's what I'm telling you. Not a wimp. Somebody wrote here a while back. Now, this is really getting in shot, I know it will. But, man, I'm old, ready to go anyway. Let her rip. And you got guns to do it. Just don't wound me. And I was reading something the other day. It says, women do not like for men to wear pink as a rule. And men who wear pink don't like women. Now, that's tough, ain't it? You say, well, you have the... what are you doing in here? All right. It's your preacher's fault. All right. So he was given a job. And that young man did a job well. He did. And he told that man he had the influence. He had the influence of what he said to get an army together. You read the rest of that chapter. Man, he didn't just get two or three men and ride him out of town. Son, he got... They're a caravan that takes old Paul out. Praise the Lord. All right, now they go on just a little bit further here in your Bible and go back to the book of Genesis here in Genesis. And we'll think about another thing or two. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters. All right. In your Bible, we're going to find out something else. Now, you look down there about the 18th verse of chapter 2. The Bible said, and the Lord God said, it is not good, thank God for the man, that the man should be alone. Woo-hoo! I like that verse, man. But anyway. And the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Glory to God. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and all that. All right, now then, let's just think a few minutes on this subject. It's kind of he names the animals. How many of you have got some kind of an animal around the house? Any kind of animal. Now, how many of you have named them animals? Now, ain't we strange? When I was a boy raised up, we had hunting dogs. That Blucher. I really didn't realize until later years, and I was studying, that Blucher, that was a man's name, that was a great warrior bygone years somewhere. All right. Blucher, Pinch, Sam, Big Boy, Brownie, we could go on, Drib, Fanny, and so on, were dogs that we had and our uncle down the valley there had and Papa, Grandpa had. And so on. We had them named. You say, what's that got to do with anything here? God, no doubt, instructed Adam to name these things. Now, what's that got to do with anything? All right? Let's just think about it. Just think a minute. He names them animals. And as you look at that animal that you have named, there's something about it that animal is inferior to you. And you're the one that is responsible to take care of that animal. Now, a cat can live anywhere, all but on the freeway. But they can live anywhere, anytime. They can live. They'll live. They'll eat. A cat will. Now, a dog, it may not make it too well. And cows and horses, they all have to be maintained. And there's something about that responsibility that is connected with that naming that animal. You said, that's in Genesis? I just got through reading it. That he's the one named them. And God, and notice in Adam, verse 20, gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. And for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Oh, pitiful lady. It really is that. All right. So he gives names to all the animals. Showing Adam some things here, like you, and I'll say this again, a responsibility. And that they are inferior to you. And you consider this, that God's the one named you. You said, well, my name is so-and-so, but my mama. Yes, but God's the one that started out in the very beginning naming. Adam called his wife's name Eve. What did God call it? Adam. That's in chapter 5. God called their name Adam. When you got married, you dear ladies, when you got married, what did you get? Your husband's name. Now, I never heard of such a thing until we got into this stuff in politics. And these women put about 14 names in between their name and their husband's name. I don't believe in that. My wife writes her name Catherine Asbury McFadden. I'm going to kick her. In love, of course. You understand what I mean? There's something there. There's something missing. There's something that God called their name Adam. That's last name, middle name, and first name, by the way. Adam. Now you see what I'm talking about? Isn't this amazing book? What a book we have here. All right. So he had to learn to have some concern for his inferiors. And like some people, good night, I see them kissing their dogs and cussing their husbands. That stuff is sick. Sick. You see it more and more as the day goes by, and I don't know if we get into all that. In the book of 2 Samuel, I got this written down here. I'll read it to you. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3, it says, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Amen, amen, amen. You say, what's that got to do with anything? You and I, us men folks, are the one given a load of responsibility. It's been put on us. God in your Bible put in Adam, right and wrong. Had a pile of rights. Everything out there he could eat. Oh, but that one tree, right? Right? You look at it. Just that one tree and so on. Okay. Man, that clock there is bad shape, or I've been going longer than I thought. It's got 10 minutes almost to 1 o'clock. All right, I've got about 20 till, so we're going to come with a flying, screeching halt here. All right, God put in Adam his moral character of right and wrong. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God puts in man. I didn't know the Ten Commandments. I didn't know anything about right and wrong as far as the Bible is concerned. Till I was a teenager and then some. I wasn't saved until 15 years old. And mom and dad never took us boys to church. We never went to church, together or nothing. But there was something inside of us that we knew it was wrong. We knew it was wrong to shack up. I did. We knew it. I remember where there was a fellow way on the other valley up at the end of it there. And so on and so forth. People talk, hey, he's got a girlfriend. Maybe we'd see him go down the road by a schoolhouse when we was at, and we'd kind of watch him go by. And we just kind of, ooh. You said, you never even knew the Bible said anything about adultery or fornication? Didn't know it. You said, really? You said, what is that? God puts in man some light that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. It does. It does. And so, so God laid it out here, and it says, you can do this, but not this one thing. Don't you touch it. No, Eve said that. Eat thereof. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what he told him. Did you ever notice how a kid's going to touch a stove that's hot or he's going to do something? You just watch him. You say, now don't you get around that. Don't you touch it. And just turn your back and watch. It's just more than they can handle. It'll just be more than they can handle. And then they'll go, they're about having what we call a tizzy. They're about to have a tizzy. Why? Because you told them no. And that flesh just says, I've got to do it. That's inbred, brother. It's inborn, every one of us. It's in there. It goes all the way back to Adam. Yes, sir. All right. So, Adam needed to be taught some right and wrong. Eve wasn't nowhere around. That's the truth. You read that. You see it. You say, well, what's it going to take? Well, I'm going to tell you something right here before we close. I'm going to go over to the Bible. I know what's in there. Hell, here it is. I'm trying to find Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, look at verse 8. The Bible said, but Daniel, here it comes. It's what it takes. Purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. You say, well, that old king, yeah, and that's the, they're talked about over there in the book of Job, how about the devil, he's a king over all the children of pride. There you go. You say, well, that ain't the king he's talking about here. Well, it better be, my dear friend. You better get it. You and I better get this verse and refer to that prince and the power of the air. All right. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel was a gentleman. I ain't going to preach on that, but I love that. I do. Daniel was a gentleman. He didn't jump up in rage and say, well, I'll call, I got my rights. Daniel didn't have any rights. Do you know from studying your King James Bible, and I'll make mention of this, if you study your King James Bible very close, when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were under that power of that Babylonian empire, do you know what one of the first things they did to those boys? They fixed them so they would never have a family. He said, where do you get that stuff? Well, let's go back over that. Just got stirred up your pure minds by way of remembering. All right, let's do it. Go to Daniel. Go to Daniel, then you go to 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 8. I'll just read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 8. I'm telling you, boys and girls, moms and daddies, it's going to take some guts to stand in these coming years. 20 and 8. All right. Let me see if that's the right one. Let me see. Let me go back over that. I may be in the wrong one here. No, 2 Kings 2018. 2018. All right. Now, this is talking here about, well, anyway, you just read the whole chapter. I'm going to read it all. All right. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Who's he talking about? Among others, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. You said, and still he maintained his integrity? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Oh, man, what a good one there. By the grace of God, let us men folks, and you young men, and you young ladies, oh, my, purpose something in your heart. And something else here we learn. One, 2 minutes. Before we can lead, we must learn, we must submit to God. Yeah. Must learn, got to submit. If you look in your Bible, and I'm not going to turn there, in James chapter 4 and in 1 Peter chapter 5. In the context of those chapters, you got submission, humility. In the context, you got the devil showing up both times. Satan absolutely hates a humble, submitted man, boy, girl, or woman. By God's grace. I wrote down another thing here that the tree there in the garden shows God's authority. God put that thing in there to test. You're going to be tested. Back when I was a boy, about 14 years old or 12, we finally got electricity. He said, you are LRK. Yes, we were. And we had a television. That was one of the first things. Every once in a while, it would come on, and they'd say, this is a test. For the next so many seconds, we are testing whatever. And they go, bang. Remember that? Well, I hate to tell you, there's many a in this King James Bible. Bunches of them. The thing of it is, he don't say beforehand. Okay, now, Kenneth, your phone's going to ring in 30 minutes, and it's going to be a magnum of a test. He don't never say it. Just bang, and there it is. You ever notice that? Have you noticed that? You say, what's that mean? That means you better be on guard. That's it. That's it. Walk your post honorably. Adam need to learn some things, and by the grace of God, last thing he'd need to learn is some boundaries. There's nothing that'll help a child better. And I messed up so many times. Every time I even think about preaching on the home, I think, oh man, what a mess I made. And I've preached on it before many times. My own children sitting there, and I'd apologize to them before I even get started. I say, I messed up on it. But when God laid that thing out, he put out some boundaries. I mean, this whole thing's yours, but that right there, no. He put a boundary. Boundaries are the most secure thing that you can do for your child. I visited young men in jail that said, my mom and dad did not care what time I come in. They would bring it up. Why? They were insecure. They had no boundaries. A boundary is like a ring like a boxing ring. You see the ones over here on this side, and the other over here, you got a referee in there, and everybody comes out. Well, when you get so far, that old boy hits you real hard. It knocks you over against them rings, against them ropes, right? Right? But you're still in bounds. You're still in there. You may get knocked out against the ropes. And I've been knocked out against the ropes many a time through the years. But by the grace of God, man, don't jump over the ropes and run out the door. God set us up. So carry on, soldier. That's what they used to tell us. You stand there at attention. Orders are given. And when it was done, carry on, soldier. You said, what are you supposed to say? Yes, sir, that's it. You say, you don't have any recourse. No, the order's been given. You say, what do? You make an about face. And away you go. What do you do? Carry on, soldier. Say, what are you telling us this morning? Oh, by the grace of God. Carry on. I'll sit down. Shut up. Thank you, brother. I'm going to take this water.
Very good instruction. Thank you this morning for that. Appreciate him coming last minute. That was a long drive for him to come and call him and thank the Lord he had an opening to come today. But let's go ahead and pray. We'll fellowship for a few minutes. We'll try to start close as we can to 11 o'clock this morning. We'll not be having the afternoon service today, so we're just going to have the morning service and let Brother McFadden take as much time as he wants in preaching. Then we're going to have fellowship afterwards and enjoy the soups and the sandwiches or whatever was brought today and just spend time fellowshipping for a few minutes. So there'll be no afternoon service, and we'll be having the service tonight at Teen Challenge. If anybody can come to that Teen Challenge from 6 to 8 o'clock. So, all right, let's all stand. Let's pray and then spend some time to fellowship for a few minutes this morning. Your Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the wonderful instruction we just received this morning from your word. And God, I pray that we as men in here this morning, Lord, these young men, Father, would take this thing to heart, Lord, and just say, yes, sir, Lord, and not try to buck it or come up with any kind of excuse, Lord, that we learn to listen to your word, Father, to the instruction of the man of God. And, Father, we'll thank you for it, God. You've been so good to us. Thank you for this morning. Bless this time of fellowship. Bless the remainder of our day today. May you be pleased with everything that's said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.